The eve of Chof Kislev, Tafresh Sad Gimel, 1932, at the evening meal, Riga. Someone remarked that the Baal Shem Tov was born at the time of Jewish martyrdom in the wake of the Khmelnytskyi massacre, 1648-49. The Rebbe's comment follows. From these events until the birth of the Baal Shem Tov, a long, long time elapsed, some 40 or 50 years. For the Baal Shem Tov was born on the 18th of Elul, Chai Elul, in the year Tuf Nun Ches, 1698. And these letters, when transposed, comprise the word Nachas, peacefulness, a sense of fulfillment. Among the letters known collectively as the Kherson Archive, there is a letter written by the Baal Shem Tov to Rav Yaakov Yosef HaKoyen of Polnoye, the author of Toldos Yaakov Yosef, and dated Tuesday of the week of Parshas Miketz, Tuf Kuf Yud Gimel, 1752. In this letter, the Baal Shem Tov fulfills his longtime promise to let his correspondents know that the day and the year in which his mentor, Achia Shiloini, revealed himself to him. These are his words. On the day on which I turned 26 years of age, on the 18th day of Elul in the year Tuf Pei Dalet, 1794, in the town of Akup, at about midnight, he revealed himself to me. The first subject we studied was Parshas Bereishis, and when we completed the Torah up to before the eyes of all Israel, I was 36 years of age, and I became revealed. Accordingly, since the Baal Shem Tov turned 26 on the 18th of Elul, Tuf Pei Dalet, 1724, he was born on the 18th of Elul in the year Tuf Nun Ches, 1698, and became known on the 18th of Elul, Tuf Tzadik Dalet, 1734. This latter date is likewise clear from all the letters that are extant. It is true of the letters from Reb Adam Baal Shem to the Baal Shem Tov covering the years Tuf Tzadik Aleph to Tuf Tzadik Gimel, 1731 to 1733. These contain expositions of the Torah and of excerpts from the Zohar and the Tikkunim, and rebuke him for his refusal to reveal himself, informing him that the entire brotherhood had decided that he ought to do so. The same date, Tuf Tzadik Dalet, 1734, is also evident from a letter addressed by the Baal Shem Tov to his brother-in-law, Reb Gershon of Kitov. Certain aged Hasidim passed on the following tradition that they had received from the Hasidim of Reb Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, who had heard it from the mouth of their Rebbe. The year in which the Baal Shem Tov was born was Hei Tuf Nun Ches. When rearranged, the letters that constitute this date comprise the word Nachas, peacefulness, sense of fulfillment, and Chasan, bridegroom. That is to say, Chad Mishmei Shmaya Nachis. There was one who descended from the highest heavens. This is also the meaning of Chasan, from the root Nachas, as in the Talmudic dictum, Nechis Dargo Nesiv Itza, descend a rung and marry a wife. And his descent brought about peacefulness and a sense of fulfillment below, Nachas Ruach Lamata. That is, in this mortal world, for a new spirit descended into this world, Shenachis Ruach Hadasha Ba'ilam Hazeh. That is to say, he taught a way of divine service which showed how one should bring about a state of satisfaction or contentment to the one above. I once heard from the well-known Chassid Reb Chanoich Hendel, who heard from Reb Ziskin Kurnitzer, who in turn quoted Reb Zalman Zesmer, that the Baal Shem Tov was born and was revealed in a land that was saturated with the blood of Jewish martyrdom. When my father read the above-mentioned letter from the Baal Shem Tov to Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoye, he said to me, "How would this correlate with the tradition handed down from one Rebbe to the next that the years of the Baal Shem Tov's life in this world numbered 72, Ayin Beis? But it is not known whether this number is intended to represent the years as they are revealed or as they are filled. In the original Shneis Hagiloy Eyamiloy, this refers to the days of doubled content, the 10 years of study." My father strongly disapproved of the inaccurate transmission of stories, the more so if the story in question told of something wondrous. On this subject he used to say, "The Torah was given at Mount Sinai in space and time. The divine intention in doing so was that through one's Aveda there should be a perception within the confines of time and space of the reality which transcends time and space. The power to thus perceive is what is meant by the gate of light that were opened up during the revelation at Mount Sinai. This too is the meaning of the Torah and the mitzvahs. They themselves are expressed in time and space, except that in them and through them there can be perceived within time and space that which is beyond the limitations of time and space. The commandment of tefillin, for example, is to be fulfilled only in specific categories of time and space. But the tefillin are a means, kalim, vessels, of drawing down into this world that which transcends time and space. One of those present remarked that there is a tradition current among the Hasidim of Vilnoye that the Baal Shem Tov passed away on a Wednesday. A mnemonic of this is to be found in the phrase referring to the fourth day of creation as Yom Shenitlu HaMa'ores, the day on which the luminaries were suspended in the heavens. According to this tradition, it is clear that the Baal Shem Tov passed away on the first day of Shavuos. In that year, 1760, Shavuos fell on Wednesday and Thursday. To this the Rebbe replied, "Now I understand the meaning of the words which the Alter Rebbe said on Wednesday, the day following his liberation from imprisonment. On the fourth day, the luminaries were taken away. But on the same day, the luminaries were suspended. Nitlu hama'iris." On Wednesday, the week of Parshas Kisavai, Tafresh Nun Zayin, 1897, during the 7 days of celebration following my wedding, I was honored by a visit from a venerable group of Hasidim, including Reb David Tzvi Chen of Sharnagov, Reb Dov Zev of Yekaterinoslav, Reb Yaakov Mordechai Bespalov, Reb Leib Hoffman, Reb Shalom Reb Hillels, Reb Usher Grossman of Nikolaev, Reb Monya Menachem Manes Monenson, and Reb Yaakov Kulibas. Since my room was small, we retired to the table and benches in the garden behind our house, and there my guests exchanged thoughts on the teachings of Hasidus and the customs of Hasidim. Reb Monya Monenson recalled, "When I was a little, I heard this from my teacher Reb Gedalia." Reb Gedalia was an extremely old man who still remembered the Alter Rebbe's first visit to Shklov. He also remembered the first person in Shklov to become a Chassid, who recounted how he had visited Mezrich and with his own eyes had seen the Magid, and that this Chassid was an outstanding scholar and a God-fearing man. What the emissaries from Vilna tell about the Magid and his disciples is a lie. This Reb Gedalia told me that long, long ago, the 18th of Elul, Chai Elul, used to be observed as a Yom Tov. The Baal Shem Tov was born on the 18th of Elul. Reb Shalom Reb Hillel then told the gathering that Reb Hillel once recounted that he had heard from the Guter Yid, Reb Motel at Chernobyler, that his father, the Tzaddik Reb Menachem of Chernobyl, had said, "The Baal Shem Tov was born on Chai Elul in body, in nefesh, and in ruach. In body, begufay, simply, on that date he was born physically. In nefesh, benafshay, refers to the revelation of his mentor on Chai Elul. In ruach, beruchay, refers to his own revelation on Chai Elul. All these events took place on Chai Elul." Reb Shalom proceeded to pass on Reb Hillel's own comment. "I would have liked to establish Chai Elul as a day of feasting and rejoicing, except that the setting up of a Yom Tov should be left to a Rebbe. And why, in fact, was it not established as a Yom Tov? The reason, it seems to me, is that Keser is not enumerated with the other Sfirais." Reb Dov Zev told us that on one of the 7 days of festivities following the wedding of my father in Tafresh Lamed Hei, 1875, my grandfather explained, "The 3 days before Shabbos are a preparation for Shabbos. The Zohar says about Shabbos that from it all the days are blessed. All the days refers to the 6 days of the week on which God conferred a general blessing. God will bless you in all you do. Now the blessing of Shabbos extends both to the days preceding it and to the days following it. The preparations for Shabbos begin on Wednesday and are heralded by the brief L'chunin Arana of 3 verses. On this occasion, recalled Reb Dov Zev, "The Rebbe was in an exceedingly joyful and outgoing frame of mind. The Sa'uda took place in the garden, and a great number of people had come to participate. His countenance was strikingly handsome at all times, but now in his joy it was literally luminous. The divine presence rested on his holy face. Radiating joy, he now said. And here Reb Dov resumed his account of the words of the Rebbe Marash. The ultimate truth of what these three verses signify should be apprehended. And it is in fact apprehended in a general way in the course of one's study of Chassidus. And as to the particular ways in which this affects each person according to the nature of his soul and his tasks in Avodah, this should be explained individually. But now is a time of joy in the world above for our grandfathers and their Rebbes. And yet higher, it is a time of joy for the Holy One, blessed be He, and His Divine Presence, as well as a time of joy in the world below. So I will explain these three verses as they apply to a middle path in a manner meaningful to all men. On Wednesday, we begin thinking, what will we have for Shabbos? This is a concern in the literal sense, and spiritually as well. How can we live a real Shabbos? After all, every Jew is quite different on Shabbos than on a weekday. So we become a little despondent. The solution to this is, L'chu niranana, come let us sing to Hashem, trust in Him. Comes Thursday, it is now closer to Shabbos and we are still empty-handed. It doesn't seem to niranana so easily. We realize we must do something. But when we settle down on Thursday night to study Chassidus, then by Friday we sense that the Lord is a great God and a great King. And with this, a Jew can live his Shabbos. This coming Shabbos, the Rebbe Marash had gone on to say, will be Shabbos HaGadol, a great Shabbos, the day on which the Baal Shem Tov was born. My father told me that the Chassidim who hailed from Haradok used to relate the wealth of stories that they heard from Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Haradok, stories that had been passed on to him about the Baal Shem Tov before his revelation, the manner of his revelation, the brotherhood of his disciples, and the trials and tribulations which he encountered. Reb Dov Zev continued to describe the events of that memorable occasion. When the Rebbe concluded his words, he had it announced that whoever could sing should join in the niggun which he indicated. The melody was to be sung three times over, and in measured tones, all singing together. In order to make this possible, he instructed Rabbi Eliyahu Verbeitchik of Abel and Rav Tzadok of Hamel to stand in a high spot and lead the singing. When the singing drew to a close, the Rebbe delivered the mimer, which opened with the words Ke'al Kol Kavid Chupa. Literally, for over every kind of honor, there will be a canopy. He explained that Kavod and Chuppah are both makifim, encompassing lights. An immediate and distant makif, respectively. In the course of his teaching, he said in a sing-song, the immediate makif, this refers to our predecessors. The distant makif, this refers to the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid. The joy that we Chassidim then experience is indescribable, continued Reb Dov Zev. Immediately after delivering the mimer, the Rebbe left the table to dance for a short while, and then went up the steps which led from the garden to the porch. There he sat by the window watching us, the Chassidim, as we danced in the garden in dozens of circles. Next to him stood his son Reb Zalman Aaron, and my uncle Reb Moshe Aryeh Ginsburg from Vitebsk, the Rebbe's son-in-law. They later said that the Rebbe had remarked to them, "See, my children, how Chassidim are glad in the joy of a mitzvah. This is how Jews will dance in the streets when Mashiach comes." That Shabbos, which was Chai Elul, was a cloudy day, so the Kiddush took place in the large hall. In the course of the Kiddush, the Rebbe said, "The Baal Shem Tov was born on Chai Elul. Through the teachings of Chassidus, the Baal Shem Tov introduced vitality into the mode of Avodah of Tshuva through love, initiated by the worshipper, which is represented by the words, Ani ledeidi vedeidi li, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. The Rebbe then delivered the mimer opening with the four words, whose initial letters Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed constitute the name of the month, which is a classic season for this mode of Tshuva. and whose final letters are 4 times Yud, whose numerical equivalent is 10, totaling 40, and representing the 40 days which Moshe Rabbeinu spent on Har Sinai receiving the Torah. After the Maimer, those assembled sang together, and following this, the Rebbe said, "Dancing in a circle the way Hasidim do is a custom renewed in the days of the Baal Shem Tov. A circle represents that which is makif. The first stage of revelation of divine light must be in a mode of makif, encompassing the recipient from without. It does not allow itself to be brought down in all its vessels kalim, and certainly not in a mode of primius, that is capable of perception by conscious and intellectual means. My grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, through his self-sacrifice for the teachings of Chassidus and for Chassidim, drew down the encompassing makif lights into the internalized mode of primius. He constructed vessels of intellectual perception for the primius. Now, when Chassidim dance in a circle, this represents a state of Eiris Bekelim, lights contained within the vessels. A light which is makif rests upon them, and the makif has its effect on the lesser indwelling light, which is Pnimi." The Rebbe retired to his study while the Chassidim went out to the courtyard and danced in dozens of circles. At the Shabbos meal which followed, the Rebbe said, "The Baal Shem Tov opened the gates of the inner realms of the Torah, Pnimiya Satera, and the Alter Rebbe opened the gates of Chabad. Accordingly, the meaning of Chai Elo nowadays is that Elo itself has come to life. Literally, Elo lives, as if it's written thus, Elul Chai. In days gone by, when the month of Elul drew near, everyone became enshrouded by melancholy, each person ensconced in his own cloud. The Alter Rebbe, however, brought vitality down into a state of inwardness, making it intrinsic to the worshipper. That is, he drove out the extrinsic melancholy, and in its stand introduced a merirus, literally bitterness, in other words, a constructive and contrite anguish, which is generated from within." Reb Dov Zev continued to his account of what he had heard on that occasion from my grandfather, the Rebbe Marash. The Alter Rebbe opens his Tanya with a discussion of the Tzaddik and the Rasha, the righteous man and the wicked. He raises queries concerning the status of the Rasha, quoting the Mishnah, "And do not be a Rasha in your own estimation," and proceeds to ask, "Furthermore, if a man considers himself to be wicked," and so on. Now, one might have expected that he should have discussed and said the level of a tzaddik. But the matter can be understood thus. It is characteristic of Bali Makifim, in other words, those whose mental attitude towards reality is subject to the powerful overt impression of Makifim, encompassing lights. These impressions not being integrated into their inner character, that they are balik tzavis, literally men of extremes. From their perspective, one may waver between two opposite positions. On the one hand, the speaker may consider himself at times to be a tzaddik, while at other times he may describe himself as being, God forbid, a rasha. The reason, such a person's perception are not settled, bis yashvus. However, in the realm of pnimi, that is, in the realm of perceptions that have been intellectually digested, integrated, and internalized, the confusion of extremes is inconceivable. That which is pnimi is by definition organized. It follows that in bygone times when Elul approached and people felt that it was time to become more pious, they were beset by melancholy. For in order to rouse himself, a person would refer to himself as, God forbid, a rasha, so that a heavy despondence set in, and throughout the month of Elul, everyone was weighed down by a cloud. Came the Baal Shem Tov and injected a vitality into the service of Hashem. The Alter Rebbe then illuminated the path of the Baal Shem Tov. He dispelled the murky melancholy and dolefulness, and in addition brought people to realize that a tzaddik too has to do tshuva. The Chassidus which the Alter Rebbe and his successors gave us is a revelation of Mashiach. And the Rebbe Marash went on to expound the statement in the Zohar that Mashiach comes in order to cause the tzaddikim to return in tshuva. He then delivered the Maimer which begins with the words, "Oz tismach besula b'machil," then will the virgin rejoice in the dance.